You know, I wandered into the church while you were singing and allowing God's word to fill your imagination. People of my kind have to find ways to relieve themselves as we wander the streets. So I made my way to the bathroom in the church where I found myself standing next to this guy with a gray beard like mine. He seemed tired, wanting a break. We began to chat, and I told him I have a story to tell. It's a true story, not made up. I could fill in for him. So he went home. I'm overlooked most of the time because I stink. I'm dirty. My teeth need brushing. Most of them need pulling. I'm pretty much penniless because, except for those loose change that's tossed into my cup on Boise Corner. I live in the corners of society. People won't even look me in the eye when they walk my corner in Boise on their way to huge money-making opportunities. What is amazing to me is that the freedom they have to walk the streets to deal after deal that bolsters their 401ks and allows them to choose the high-priced wine on the menu, that was earned by me and my military friends who gave up life and sanity on bloody fields. My name is Tom. Tom. And don't freak out when I say what I'm going to say next. I'm dead. I'm dead. I've been dead a few years now, and this is a true story. Hebrews in our Bible tells us that when we entertain strangers at our table, and we thought they were just strangers, we've been taking care of angels unaware. Don't let that surprise you. The Advent story is filled with angels, right? I mean, do you truly believe the story, or have you been so disenchanted in your secular age that you think, nice story, but I don't think so. Well, I'm the dead unaware. I literally died years back. And I've been sent to haunt you like a Halloween ghost at Advent. How's that for an introductory paragraph to a public church gathering? The guy standing at the urinal told me he was preaching on Mary's Magnificat. And I thought, wow, there is nothing bigger than what Mary sang. Nothing. I love that worship song. It's been in the back of my mind and in my dreams from my youth. Even when I begged money from strangers in Boise, it is powerfully subversive. Most don't recognize how political it is. I can feel the emotions in the room as I say the word political in your environment. Americans want an apolitical sermon, but to read, meditate, and sing, just sing the Magnificat of Mary is to worship with a political edge. On my street corner in Boise, Idaho, I often thought about this. Mary sang this song as Herod and Rome were overtaking everything. Politics. Babylon was reborn just like it's reborn in your day. America, Babylon. Russia, Babylon. China, Babylon. South Africa, Babylon. We hear Herod and we need to think Babylon, power, oppression, military dominance. World influence. And then as we pray this song of the Mother of Jesus, we should be brought to our knees. And you may think I'm crazy, some loose cannon from a corner in Boise, Idaho. But no, I'm speaking from death, from what you all here fear and are too afraid to chat about. Samuel came up from the dead in the Old Testament through the Witch of Endor, in the biblical story. And I'm a part of the communion of saints. Tom's my name. I was baptized on my deathbed. in the hospital by Tim. I was soaked with all my sheets and clothes. My pillow was just drenched. I hadn't peed myself, but God wet me with his holy water. How's that for an image of what God did for me? I was welcomed into grace and mercy and into forgiveness and family. My name is Tom, and I wish you could have known me. Mary, in your song this morning, she sings that her song glorifies the Lord. She magnifies the Lord. Now, I hear that and I think, really? God doesn't need to be magnified. Our vision of him needs to be magnified. Magnify is like a magnifying glass. It makes bigger what is smaller. And God's not small. Her song attempts to make God bigger than our puny thoughts. God magnifies what is small in Mary's life. She cannot appreciate how large and broad and comprehensive is this act of God. Mary places us all in the context of God doing amazing things among us, bigger than we can dream or imagine. She can't think big enough about God. She tries. She knows God as Savior. Just notice where Mary directs all of our attention. God is the subject of her song. God is mindful of her marginalized position in society. She even uses the word slave. Slave, like she did with Gabriel in chapter 1, verse 38, when the angel came. And there she says she's a household slave. That's the word, not servant. That's why I so resonate with Mary's story. Mary understands the feelings of powerlessness. She would know what it's like to depend on the generosity of others just to survive. That God would see her desperate condition, that gave me hope on my Boise corner. I'd hold out my cup. It was a tin cup. And I would be so grateful, even when it was just a clunk of a penny. If they would have given two pennies, I was even happy for that. But what no one knew as I sat there was I was also trying to raise money for my friend. He was sick a long time. And I needed money for his medication. We stole wood from a construction site. And maybe it was just scraps. We didn't care. We took it. And we built this little tiny shack in the middle of the river in this little teeny island with a little bluff and brush and trees. We built it right in the center of there. And it mostly kept the rain off. Well, not really, but we hoped. We built it among those trees and brush, and we could peek out through those. And on the other side of that river were all these mansions that lined the river. He and I would cuddle up as close as we could in the winter months to keep warm, wishing we could just sleep in one of those five-car garages across the way. We looked at all that opulence, but that would mean one of the cars would have to sleep in the drizzling rain. I remember flying across the country for certain military training before the long flight to Vietnam. Yep, that's where my issues come from. I went to war one person, and everyone who knew me before I went to war said I came back someone completely different. I tried to integrate back into American society many times. Some of us were able. Others, like myself, went to the corners. And while flying, I remember on being trained, and I would look down from the plane and I would see circles throughout the farmland. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. You live in farmland country. And I began to wonder why they plant crops in circles on very square pieces of land. You know, mathematically, maybe farmers are challenged. I mean, I've known farmers throughout my life, and my brother Tim pastored for 40 years at the same Oregon church. Pastors and farmers have much the same soul, the same rhythm of life, the same spirituality and connection with the earth. I started to poke around, and I found out that the center pivot irrigation was revolutionary in the agricultural world. Crops were watered in a circular pattern. It's not that crops aren't planted in the corners of the square. The issue is that the water never gets to them. I live in the corners where the water never arrives. But Mary's song is committed to sing. Water is destined to soak my corner. That's what she's singing. She's singing about the corners. I lived in the corner. And its water was soaking Mary's corner at the Advent. She was on the margins, and yet God was doing something wonderful, and she was going to get drowned in the waters of grace. It was grace, for she is chosen as the favored one. It was a drowning. She had to parent the Messiah. She had to be her marginalized self in the presence of the God-human baby, Jesus Messiah. As your Mary figure, Shannon, this morning talked, how do you think it was to raise the Messiah? Do you think the rumors and stories stopped when Mary put Jesus in preschool? Or fourth grade? Or junior high? Mary lived in the corners, and I lived with her there, separated by 2,000 years. Mary sang about justice for those in the corners. My God, help us. God is the mighty one who extends mercy to those who fear Him. And don't for a moment think there is no fear of God around a flaming metal trash can in a dark alley with people made in the image of God surrounding its warmth, finding a community to sort out their scuba. That's Paul's way of saying they were sorting out their shit. God performed mighty deeds in Mary's life. And mine, by the way, He scattered the proud. He elbowed the self-righteous to the margins because they snubbed the likes of me that lived in the corners. And get this. In bringing Jesus Messiah, God has dethroned, Mary sang. He dethroned the Herods and the Putins and the Bidens and the Trumps and the King Charleses of this world, because Jesus is King. Mary sings about this. God has brought down the rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He's lifted up those in the corners, brought down rulers. Just whisper that for a moment. God has brought down the rulers, and He's exalted His Son. That is an enormous political and subversive verse of Mary's song. No wonder Herod wanted to kill all the babies. And before you think that I, Tom, am giving some liberation slant to this story, let me remind you of something. Mary's Magnificat, throughout certain revolutionary times, has been banned. It's been banned. It was not allowed to be read or sung or memorized. In the 1980s, the government of Guatemala banned any public reciting of Mary's Magnificat because it was deemed politically subversive. Why? Because it proclaims and calls for justice, and it stands with the likes of me in the corners. I want you to know that Mary sung this song into the ears of Jesus the entirety of his life. And I want to say, that's not in your Bibles. I know that. But you churchgoers make us gather on a Saturday evening around a trash can fire in winter. You make us nuts. I mean, my corner people talk about the song sung into their ears as kids. These are songs that had immense meaning to the parent, and they would bob us up and down while singing these songs into our bloodstream, into our atmosphere, into our souls. Now, let me ask you, do we think for a minute that the mother of Jesus, who sang this song of Holy Spirit inspiration, that is one of the most beautiful pieces of poetry in the Scriptures, are you telling me that she didn't sing that into little Jesus? I want you to know, if we think that, we're saying Mary was no mother at all. We just need to look at Jesus. As Jesus grew, Mary sang into his being what his life's focus was to be. We're told Jesus grew in wisdom and understanding. Mary taught Jesus and helped form him like a good mother into the human God. She sang her song into his ears. And I, Tom, a Vietnam vet street dweller, disturbed with the hell I encountered and lived and participated, I want Mary, the mother of Jesus, to sing her song into my life. Because like Mary, I live on the corners. Mary sang that God filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. From my little island in the river, I doubted this song's prophetic proclamation. I had to hope. I lived in a drippy shack with a very sick friend as we gazed toward opulence. People don't understand my struggle. They just judge and speak and proclaim with bias-filled preaching. I guess it's well-intended, but I'm telling you, it's misdirected. I'm convinced that your pastor doesn't come close to entering into my struggle to survive and find dignity in the love of God. And yet, my brief conversation at the urinal told me he wants to. He knows something is wrong with the way the church thinks about following Jesus in the who's in and who's out thinking of most. You might want to know how my life ended. Remember that I'm dead. I'm speaking from the other side. But not really. I'm fully alive. I'm loved by Jesus who loves each of you. See, I knew something was off. I started to forget things. My head was pounding. Clarity was not forthcoming. And it got really bad, so I decided I should find the hospital. I went to our penny stash. Emptied it and bought a bus ticket. On the way to the drop off by the hospital, I crapped myself. That's the truth. The other truth is that the people all around me were so offended, they shamed in me words that I just will not repeat. I made their comfortable life inconvenient. My defecation filled the air. Yet, let me tell you, it didn't fill the air as much as their compassionless and arrogant aroma. I was drop-kicked off the bus into the cold and had to walk a couple miles to the hospital. I was on the streets needing to get to the hospital. I staggered there like I was drunk. And they diagnosed me with brain cancer with just a couple weeks to live. It wasn't long before I was birthed after that. You call death the end, I call it birth. That's a later discussion. But it is here that my brother came. I don't know what I would do without Tim. He exudes Jesus, your pastor. He told me he knew him as Father Tim. He walked with me, he prayed with me, he read to me, and in my hospital bed soaked me in the waters of baptism. Laughter, joy, smiles, tears were all present in that moment. My parents were there. They had known for 5 to 6 years if I was alive or dead. And you need to know I belong to Jesus. Jesus Christ, who came in the flesh through Mary. And she sang about me in her song. I'm the hungry that has been filled with good things. I am the humble that he lifted up. Let the rich go their way, because poor people like me have been exalted. And God's mercy overflows like Niagara Falls into my life on the corner. When baby Jesus grew into a man, he entered the synagogue and he read Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to release the oppressed and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. That's all in Mary's song. In Luke 6, he gives the pointed beatitudes about the poor and the rich and the hungry and satisfied. That's all in Mary's song. And then when the leaping John in the womb starts to doubt who Jesus really is, Jesus tells him, the blind receive sight, the lame walk, the lepers are clean, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of Jesus. It's all in Mary's psalm. Why? Because Mary sang that into the life of Jesus. And she sang it into my life. My name is Tom Barton. I'm dead, but not really. I'm alive in Jesus, Messiah. I lived my earthly life in the corners. But the river of living life flooded my corner. Because that's the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that's what we celebrate at Advent. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let's pray.